Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
All right, rolling on here. Steve Cochran Show, Mark Carmen in today. Ji-Suk Yee, Dave Bennett, Super Joe. Super Joe, how are we doing so far? What would you say? What grade are you giving us halfway home here?
I'd say a solid C+, my man.
C plus? What could we be doing to matter? Come on. Come out with it. We'll
Joe,
talk about it.
Even
off the air.
Me?
No. That was mostly for Mark.
So incredibly rude. We're going to be giving away. Let me do this right and see if we can upgrade that C+. A pair of lawn tickets to Ravinia, July 21st, to see Ghostbusters. It's celebrating its 35th anniversary. That makes me feel old. With the score performed live by the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. You can join Dean Richards, who will lead a pre-concert discussion. You can get tickets at Ravinia.org. We're giving away tickets right now, Joe. Caller, what number are we going to do?
Let's go with caller number 27 for Lucas Giolito.
Caller number 27 for Lucas Giolito. Let's do 7 minus 2 and make it caller 5 on this beautiful July 5th. It all comes together beautifully there. Two tickets to Ravinia, July 21st to see Ghostbusters, 312-981-7200. Dean is off today. I watched him last night on WGN TV. I actually feel like that's like the most old thing I've ever done is watch the fireworks on television.
It's because you had to be here so early this morning.
Yeah, but it still felt like there was a legit excuse, but that's kind of pathetic. Don't you think? Shouldn't I be out there?
I think there's a lot of people that do that. They're home. They're in the comfort of their own air-conditioned living room.
Dave, I watched.
You watched the fireworks on TV.
I watched the fireworks. Dean did a great job.
He did.
But the Navy Pier fireworks.
I just felt like I was doing something
wrong. By the way, I missed my grade from Super Joe.
He's talking to our fine Ravinia callers right now, but he gave me a C+.
Yeah.
C+.
But then I asked, was that for me too? And he said no.
Yeah, no. So, it's just strictly Carmen. Josh Hill gets an A. He's the editorial director, fansided.com. You want to follow him on Twitter for all your entertainment and everything else, at J-D-A-V Hill, Josh David Hill, J-D-A-V Hill. Good morning, Josh Hill. Good to see you in studio,
sir. Good
morning.
Carm, I watched the fireworks on TV. I'm
Did
27,
you really?
So don't try to
there
age
you go.
Me out of this.
He's a millennial.
So, come on.
That's unbelievable. I didn't realize that they put the whole music thing to it. I got it.
So what are you normally doing then? If you're not working at 4 in the morning the next day,
nothing.
You're probably out in the alley doing your own fireworks system. Risking life and limb.
Nothing exciting, but I'm probably watching sports or a show. Like, I just felt like the fireworks on Channel 9, that just seems like something that, my father would be doing, and he's 93 years old, but Dave was there, Josh was there, so I'm wrong. I take it all back.
Plus, it has another benefit, which was to drown out the fireworks my neighbors were shooting off.
Exactly.
Fair enough. All right, Josh Hill, let's talk about Halle Bailey, who is not Halle Berry.
Nope.
And she is going to be playing Ariel in Disney's live-action remake of The Little Mermaid. There's a little bit of controversy around this, which shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be. She's an African-American actress, and if you watch the cartoon, it's a Caucasian cartoon, but also it's a cartoon. I don't think you can have a race on a cartoon.
Also, it's a mermaid.
It's a mermaid.
What race?
Real.
I mean, mermaids aren't even a race, are they? Like,
no.
I mean, come on.
Well, and people are saying on Twitter, it's going to be real upsetting for everybody who's petitioning to get her recast that Ursula's not actually going to be purple. So, it's this whole thing. But representation matters in films, and I think Disney's actually getting on board with this. We saw it with Aladdin, where we had actual Middle Eastern actors cast in the film instead of just whitewashing, which we usually see. Now we have Ariel, who is an African-American actress. I like it. I'm personally a fan of it. Lots of people out there, not so much, but... And it also continues this trend that Disney has of remaking every single movie from their so-called golden age into a live-action remake. So that's, I don't know.
Well, of course, I mean, this is smart financially for Disney, too, because Halle and her twin, right, Chloe, they both are singers. They're both gorgeous. I mean, they're Disney products, too, but, incredibly talented. Do you know who this is?
I think we need a refresher here. Dave, do you know who Halle Bailey is? I'd like to know
her.
Can
I get a resume here, Hill? What do we got?
Super cool.
Yeah, you're tapping into this young millennial audience. You have, or now you're getting into the Gen Z audience since you wanted to age everybody out with the fireworks display from the top of the segment. She was a Disney Channel star. She's going to be in this new Disney Channel movie. She's a singer. We've seen this path done before. Like, Selena Gomez was a Disney Channel star. Now she's a huge pop. The Jonas Brothers were Disney Channel stars. So this isn't a new thing. Like I said, it's very financially viable for them to do this, to remake both of the nostalgia for all of us who want to go and watch these movies again, and repackaging it and putting it to a new generation of moviegoers.
She's really known for being in Grown-ish, which is a show. And, I mean, it's... I just wanted to explain in case anyone got confused. But, I mean, it seems so... a lot of this is happening now where you think about... the precedent set by Hamilton. They had cast all across every type of ethnicity in terms of who they cast to play in the musical. So I think this is happening, and it's important to grow up and see someone that looks like you in media. Yeah. And it does really affect you if you don't have that happen. And this is a mermaid.
Yeah. And it's like covering
a half fish, everyone. Half human, half fish.
It's like covering a song. The lyrics are the same, but it changes meaning based on who's singing the song.
And you can always go back to the originals if you prefer the original. You can watch that.
Yeah.
And so they're also remaking The Lion King, Jungle Book, Aladdin, all...
Well, they've remade those. And they're remaking... They have a Cruella de Vil prequel coming with Emma Stone. Mulan. They're making a live-action Mulan. So they're just going back to the well with all of these.
Listen, if with this Lion King, they better be contributing to saving the big cats in Africa. That's all I'm saying, Disney. Some of that money should be going back to for conservation, but of course.
It's not.
We're no one's listening to me.
We can't get that done?
No one cares. Disney doesn't care.
Well, my thing with the Lion King is it was very traumatizing as a child to watch Mufasa die in 2D animation. This is like CGI. This is as real as it gets. This is like a lion snuff film. I'm not looking forward to this. That's going to be devastating.
Here come the tears. Stranger Things 3 came out yesterday. So this is a ton of 80s nostalgia out there. What's your take on Stranger Things 3?
Well, I can't relate too much to the 80s nostalgia.
That's true. You're a little young for that.
That's more of a historical document for me. But... look, Stranger Things is always going to be a huge thing whenever it comes out. It's interesting that it went up against Spider-Man Far From Home, which came out in movie theaters over the holiday week, and this comes out literally in your home over the holiday week. So you can have watch parties. People did that. They dressed up, and they had watch parties in their living rooms. But my question about that is, how far into a series can you get, can you binge watch in one sitting at a watch party? Because it's a lot easier to watch Game of Thrones or something like that, where it's one episode and then you're done. You come back next week, you have 12 episodes that you have to watch. How can you have a watch party for these things? What is Netflix doing? I mean, I get the model, but it's still a little confusing.
How many episodes was in the whole thing?
I think it's like 12.
So they dropped the whole show in one fell swoop.
Yeah.
And now you got people like, hey, you want to stay over all night? We're going to watch every single one of these?
Yeah. And it's like a sleepover. Like, who's the last one to fall asleep? But it's like, how much can you remember from the show, too? And it's really good. I mean, Stranger Things, season 2 kind of got a little bit of blowback. This is a bounce back, I would say. They've restored what they were.
We want to know what happens to Barb. You know, justice for Barb. That
justice
was the problem with season 2. But I think this was good timing because everyone's so depressed after Game of Thrones left. So now we're just wringing our hands with nothing to do. Of course, you know, you've got your sports, but...
right. Well, I'm hearing this is a challenge to the viewing public. Like, here, we're giving it all to you, but you're not going to eat the entire bag of Snickers right now. You can schedule out your parties. We're going to watch episode 1 and 2 on this Tuesday. Then you can come over next week for 3 and 4. Why can't we do that?
Well, I mean, I get it, because you have to watch the Avengers movie on Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, because you know if you come back and work on Monday, everybody's seen it. So this is kind of the same concept, where you have to watch Stranger Things, or it's going to get spoiled for you if you come into work and you don't watch it. But it's a lot easier to say, nah, I don't really want to watch episodes 4, 5, and 6 right now, whereas you have to go and spend 3 hours at the movie theater and watch Avengers. I don't know. I think they can capture the conversation a lot longer than just a weekend, if you do it the Game of Thrones way.
I can watch probably 6 or 7 episodes straight, but that means I'm probably up till 4 in the morning, and then my eyes are like the cartoon, they're like little pinwheels, and I'm not really sure what I've seen. Can't quite keep it all straight, but I think it's about immediate gratification, right? That's what our society is about now.
Should we be watching Stranger Things 3, period? Is that a thing for Netflix, if you're recommending?
That's one of their tentpole shows. I mean, they've already started to do the movie thing where they're having cross promotion with Nike. They have shoes, and they have, you know, they brought back old Coca-Cola, the 80s Coke, Carm. I don't remember, but it was a big deal.
You don't have time because you're watching all the baseball games.
I got sports to take care of. You're right, G.
You really, your time is limited.
Well, I think it is for everybody, though. Like, what do you pick? There's so many options. We got standard TV, you got the Netflix, you got the Hulu, you have your sports. I mean, you really got to boil down what's important to you. It's not an easy thing for the viewing public.
No. Well, Hulu drops Handmaid's Tale every week.
Right.
So they don't do it in the binge watching. You have to go back and watch all of the episodes. I think it's smart.
Show is disturbing.
Like it's like a Cheesecake Factory menu. There's too many options. Too
right.
much to pick from.
I used to be
like
a waiter at the Cheesecake
pages.
Factory.
No way. Were you?
Lasted 3 weeks. Somebody tipped me 3 cents. I threw it at them as they were walking down the stairs at Old Orchard. Did I just say that on the radio?
You did?
Yes. Well, they left me 3 cents.
Didn't.
Wow.
I mean, come on.
Oh,
you deserve to have the 3 cents thrown at you.
So you reached the pinnacle of that business, too.
Ba-dum-bum.
Wow.
If you were listening earlier, or if you missed earlier, I did reach the pinnacle, and the vending industry rose from cotton candy all the way to Budweiser, but I was the worst waiter ever. Can I get extra ranch for that? No, you cannot. The requisite ranch has been provided. This is the way it goes for you. No more ranch for you. Waitresses, you're the greatest people on the planet. Josh Hill is with us here, editorial director, fansided.com. We got a summer movie hit going on here, right? Midsommar?
It's my pick to be the summer movie hit. It's a lot like Get Out, where it's a horror movie that doesn't actually just focus on the horror. It's about something else. Whereas Get Out was about racism and society and where we are right now. And Midsommar is about relationships. It's about breakups. It's a breakup movie. It's about the horrors of ending up with the wrong person. Not just like, oh, we're not right for each other, but someone who's like actually physically wrong for you. And it's this entire mind trip into, and we've all been there before. We've all had nasty breakups. We've all been in the wrong relationship. And it really taps into that. It's the type of movie that you would want to go to with your worst ex and then afterwards say, yeah, that's what that was like for me with you. So and it's really intense. And I really like movies that get that kind of a visceral reaction out of you that you're not expecting, because you're like, oh, this is a horror movie and it looks like it's set at Coachella in Sweden. Like, oh, cool. But it's actually about so much else, and it's so much deeper, and it gives you a real reaction, and it makes you want to go out and say, hey, you have to see this movie. And we haven't had one of those yet this summer, and I really think that this is going to be that one.
I'm the worst kind of horror thriller movie watcher. I have to go and read the review and find out everything that happens, because I can't handle the stress of being surprised. So I read everything. I love the spoilers, and then I go watch, because I need to be prepared.
So if you're watching a horror movie that you've seen 10 times, I don't know if that would be Halloween for you or whatever, you if it's for Cape Fear, which is slightly a horror movie, do you still get scared when you're watching it for the 7 zillionth time?
No.
See, I do. I don't know what that is. I feel it. I don't know why. It's not rational, but I do. I still feel it.
Is it the suspense or is it like the jump scares? Because the jump scares, I hate that in movie theaters, where it's they just get the loud noises and it makes you jump, but... suspense?
I'm sitting alone at home. I know what's coming, and I still get nervous.
Do you check your closets and like your under the bed?
Not all the time, but occasionally. I mean,
wow.
I know.
The dog doesn't help.
No. Well,
it's your brother's dog.
I'm only renting the dog, so. I mean, logically, it shouldn't be a thing, but I think that's also part of the fun. You want to have a little bit of a reaction.
Right. Well, no, I don't want to have a reaction. I want to know, because I'm too frightened, and then I will be checking the closets and under the bed and everything else.
Who's in Midsommar? This sounds amazing.
It's a bunch of no-name actors, too. That's the thing.
Yeah, because it's a foreign film, right?
Yeah. Well, it's made by the director who made Hereditary last year, which was kind of a horror hit, and I thought it was going to be the same thing like this is. Where it did have its moment, but it came out a little bit too early in the year to then get that late season awards push and to stay relevant in the pop culture conversation for the entire year. I'm really hoping that this one is, because it's coming out in July. It's coming out at the right time. It's in a down year for movies at the box office, which doesn't bode well for it doing well, but it's that type of word of mouth thing. Like, again, Get Out, where you see it and you just go, oh, you guys have to watch this movie. Because it is a horror movie, and I'm not a big horror fan myself either, but there's a lot of intellect to it, and I really appreciate smart horror movies.
Are you so busy reading the subtitles that then you miss what's happening because it's, like, important to, like, the, you know... It's a lot of action horror.
It's a skill right there.
No, I'm serious. Some people don't like to go see foreign films because if it's a lot of dialogue, then they're missing some of the
I'd say
action.
Most people don't want to do it. We're unwilling to even... I don't want to read.
Oh, Carl.
I'm not saying myself. But I have sat there and watched and enjoyed it. But it is a commitment. Like, okay, you're not just... I actually have to pay attention and read and
you're
do...
You're just shoveling popcorn in your
mouth
and like...
Right. But there's a great win at the end of enjoying a film that you normally wouldn't partake in. So
absolutely
stretching
your boundaries.
Right, I support the move.
Yeah, and wanting to share it with people, and it's going to kick off a nice July month of movies too, because we're going to end the month with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which is Quentin Tarantino's new movie, and he's had
it's
a
been
lot
a while.
Of success. It has been a while, and he's saying that the 10th movie, this is his 9th, his 10th will be his last one.
Wow.
So we'll see. I guess he only has one more left in him, but. For everybody that says they don't want to go to the movies if it's not a superhero movie, you've got Quentin Tarantino for the film nerds like me. You've got Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio. You got Margot Robbie. You've got all Luke Perry's in that movie. Like, there's a lot of people in this movie, and it's Quentin Tarantino. So, and I think that, and in between that we've got Hobbs and Shaw, which is The Rock. So he's a box office star. There's a lot going on in July. So if you don't want to see Midsommar, if you don't want to do horror, you've got a lot of other options. The Lion King comes out this month, which we've already talked about. So, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, though, that's the one that you should really circle.
So, Luke Perry is in it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So, that's going to be posthumous for people to go and see it. So.
Favorite Tarantino movie before you go?
Jackie Brown.
I love Jackie Brown.
Jackie Brown's a classic.
I don't think Jackie Brown gets enough acclaim. Few people would say that. I think Jackie Brown's amazing.
Well, because Pulp Fiction is so revered. Everybody knows. It's just so cool. It makes me upset.
Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah, because it's just the things that they say in there try so hard. Like when Samuel Jackson says, oh, that's just cool in the gang, I'm like, oh, come on. You're trying too hard to be cool. It works, but it's Jackie Brown is more of a classical film.
I mean, is this really like Quentin Tarantino's last film, you think? Because there's so many people say, I'm going to retire, and then they come back. It's a publicity stunt, don't you think?
Maybe. He likes calling his own shot, though. Mm. You never know.
Dude's made a bunch of dough. All right, Josh Hill Entertainment, sponsored by Ravinia, your editorial director at Fansided Hill. Great to see you.
Good to see you too, Carm.